Thank you for watching today's program. We hope our broadcasts bring you comfort as you hear the Word of God. Today, Dad highlights reasons one can become discouraged and ways to look ahead for guidance. We pray Dad's message, Dealing with Discouragement, will offer help and restore hope.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And I've got a message today that I'm just sort of going to help a lot of people, because it's how do you deal with discouragement? And we're going to give you some ideas on how to overcome discouragement. And I know that that's happened to a lot of people, because that's a devil's famous, that's his tool that he just loves to get people discouraged. Because if they're discouraged, they won't be any value. They won't do anything for the Lord. They'll just sit with a broken heart. So call your friends and tell him he's going to talk about being discouraged. And maybe when you hear my sermon, you really will be discouraged. I don't know, but we think it'll work the other way. Well, I want to share some of the letters, and because we get so many like to hear the letters. And the first one I have is from New Zealand. And they said, we're watching you this afternoon. And we mentioned, you were from New Zealand. And so we wrote to say, we love watching your program, and so special and wonderful. Thank you, Pastor Salem. God bless you. That's 8,200 miles away. And I read this especially because when I read this, I felt like these were my friends. They're part of my family of God, in the family of God. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. These people are Christians. I haven't seen them. I'm probably never going to see them till we get to heaven. But yet, just reading that letter, there's just a feeling of the kinship of Christ. It's beautiful. 8,000 miles apart, but the Spirit of God is greater than any of the miles. Here's Omaha, Nebraska. And this fellow says, I appreciate your good old-fashioned, and believe me, I'm an old-timer, 96 years old, going on 97, just a few weeks now, and if the Lord wills. And I preach the old gospel, and I'm an old-timer, proud of it. So he says, I appreciate your good old-fashioned, down-home, no-holds-barred preaching. There are so many TV preachers who quote one or two lines from the Bible, then they go off into some superficial fluff that isn't Bible-based. With you, I am assured I will always hear a Bible-based sermon. Thank you for being my earthly shepherd. And there's two things I want to say here. Yes, as long as you hear me, because I'm starting my 75th year preaching, and I preach the same word of God. Now, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. It's the same message, the wonderful word of God. And then he talks about, you are my earthly shepherd. And that's what I love to be called, is be called a pastor. I don't like reverend. I think there's only one reverend, and that's the great God in heaven. And so don't call me that, but call me pastor, because I'm under shepherd. The great shepherd is Jesus, and he has under shepherds in there to care for the sheep and feed them the word of God. So that's my business. Here's Sioux City, Iowa. Said, I just wanted to say thank you for bringing the word of God into my home. It makes me feel that God is in my heart. Please send me a new song and to do Bible study at home. And so this is somebody talking about the new song. Now, I tell you what the new song is. It's a monthly paper that we put out. Christian Worship Hour puts out a monthly paper. It's free and postpaid. It's such a wonderful little paper. We really should charge. I just don't know how we can do this without charging. But nope, doesn't cost a thing. And then we have the sermons that we're going to have, and we have the text in there. We have excerpts from a lot of the letters we get, and we always have a Bible study. And so this month, the month of April, we are having a Bible study on things that happen when you're born again. And there's about six or seven different things that happen. And I know it's a little Bible study. I know you'll like it. And so you write to us. And so get your pencil and paper ready. And at the end of the sermon, I'll give you the address. And then we can not only send write to us, but you can always send us a gift, because we have to have God's help. And you just pray and ask God, now, should I help these people? Dear Lord, is this something that you want me to help out with prayers and with gifts? And if he says no, put it someplace else. We don't want it. But if he says yes, You need to help these people. They're sincere. They're preaching the Bible, and you need to support them. And then you say, how much? And then you say, oh, are you sure that much? And, well, I don't know what he'll say, but just pray about it. But just remember, we're not underwritten by any organization or corporation or anything like that. It's just God's people, God working through his people. Here's another letter, final letter I want to read, Wichita, Kansas. Thank God, he is so merciful. He saved even me. If you knew the sins of my life, you would know what I mean. I'm 68 years old, your brother in Christ. And we get letters, and they'll say, I don't think God will ever forgive me. And the reason they don't think he'll forgive them is because they sinned against light. They knew it was wrong, and they did it anyway. If I would have done it in ignorance, that would have been another thing. But I knew it was wrong, and I did it anyway. God have mercy on my soul. And I don't know if God will ever forgive me. Or they may think they could have committed the unpardonable sin. Well, you can't commit the unpardonable sin because that was something could be done only when Jesus was here doing miracles and ascribed his work to the devil. That was the unpardonable sin. So it's not even around. The only unpardonable sin is when you die and you haven't accepted Jesus and it'll never be pardoned. Then you pay forever in a crisis eternity. So I pray you'll come to Jesus. And remember what Paul said? He says that he was the chief of sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. He says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So if he saved chief, he'll save all the rest of us. We're all poor old sinners. And whether it's a little sin or a big sin, it's still a sin against God, and it'll never enter heaven, not one speck. It's got to be washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Well, let's look about this matter of discouragement. In Psalm 42, we have the story of David, and he's down in the dumps. He's down in the doldrums. He is discouraged. And so I think most of us know what that is, to get discouraged. It can happen to so many times, and the devil uses it so many times. And so David is not mentioned as the author of this psalm, but most people believe that he is the author because, for instance, as one writer says, it is so Davidic, it smells of the son of Jesse. And another writer says it is probable that David's flight from Absalom may have been the occasion for composing this psalm. And so they think that the 42nd Psalm, 43rd Psalm, was from David. So that's what we're assuming. If it wasn't, well, that's fine. It's still God's word, and it's still his message. And so in this passage, 43 and 44 here, three times David says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Now that may be a good question because he's saying, why? Here's a child of God. He knows that God loves him. He knows that his name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He remembers that what God has done to help him in the time past. He remembered how he helped him dispose of Goliath. And he thinks of all the good things he has done. And yet, in spite of all of that, here he is. He's in the doldrums. He's cast down. He's crestfallen. He's discouraged. And he says, why art thou cast down? Why is my soul that way? Have you ever thought that when you're discouraged about something? You say, well, what is bothering me? What am I doing? And so let's look at this. Why do people get discouraged and get down? Well, there's a lot of reasons. I put out just four reasons. The first one is betrayal by those who we trusted, someone we really trusted, someone we really relied upon. That person who has cut us down. They've turned on us like Judas turned on Jesus. And they'll take the heart out of a person because we put too much stock into that person. We leaned on that person too much. Don't put all your faith in human beings. Put them in Jesus. He'll never let you down. I've had friends let me down, stab me in the back. And that does, it's a hard time. And so David is saying, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? And so there's some people think that This happened when Absalom tried to take over the throne from David. And David has a hide from his son who is trying to take over his kingdom. And how would you like your son to turn and do that to you? Maybe that would be the reason that his heart is breaking and he's discouraged. Another reason people get discouraged is because they're of loneliness. Loneliness. Oh, we get letters, people that are lonely. You ought to think about people. Well, keep your eye out for somebody you can help and encourage. David was lonely here. He was in exile. He was hiding from his son. And he's thinking about the times when he was with the Lord and when he went to the temple. And he says, I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise and a multitude that kept holy day, verse 4. He's thinking of how that he used to be with his friends and his loved ones and they worshiped God together, but now he's all alone and he doesn't know what's going to happen and he's discouraged. Another reason people get discouraged, heartless criticism can bring on discouraged. Listen to David in verse 10. He says, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? They're taunting David. Where is thy God? They're criticizing him. And it's just like so many swords piercing him and hurting him. And their criticizing him, and he doesn't have it coming. And it's sharp criticism. And that may cause him to become very discouraged and downhearted. And then the final one I put down, past mistakes and sins. We all have them, don't we? Past mistakes and sins. Satan likes to remind them of all these things that we failed in the past. They just heard him interview Billy Graham. And they asked him, if you had your life to live over, what would you do differently? And he said three things. First of all, he'd read the Bible more. Second, he says, I wouldn't travel as much. I wouldn't be away from my family traveling as much. Preaching, doing a good thing, but I wouldn't do that so much. And then he says, and the final thing he was talking about, he says, I would meditate more. Meditate more. How do you meditate? Well, you get off by yourself and you shut your mouth and you just let God talk to you. And you just keep still and you don't think about the ball game or what you're going to plant out in the garden or what anything else. You just put your mind in neutral and you think about the dear Jesus and let God talk to you, meditate, see. And so these people here, they're in the doldrums because they think about how in the past, what they could have done and could have done better. We are all in that same boat. We all can remember things of the past or when we should have, what we should have done or shouldn't have done. And the devil uses that all the time, and I'll tell you why he does. Because you can't change the past, and he knows you can't change the past, so he brings it back to you. See, that's the kind of a skunk that he is. He is so low down, I just can't wait till he's cast into the lake of fire. Boy, that's coming, and you don't want to go with him, do you? You have to have Jesus. Be sure you have Jesus. But we see how the devil does these things, causes people to think of the past. St. Paul said this. He had a terrible past because he persecuted the church. And St. Paul said, forgetting that which is behind, forget that behind. I press toward the mark. I look ahead. Don't look back. You never win the race looking backwards. Look forward. And you look toward Jesus. And you press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God. Forget the past. And think about Jesus and what you can do for Jesus and for others. So those are some of the reasons. But now I want to spend the most of the time on how do I get out of this discouragement? Well, I put on several things. First of all, take a good look at yourself. Have an examination and look at your life and look at how you lived. And then just think about how that God has helped you in the past. Think about the good things of the past, not the hard things, the evil things. Think of the good things that happened. Be like David, and he slew Goliath, and he cut off his head and put it in Jerusalem, and then he took Goliath's armor and he put it in his tent. And what did he put in his tent for, to brag? Oh, no, David never did that. He gave God all the glory. He put that armor in that tent so he could always remember what God did for him and the great victory he had over Goliath, 9-foot Goliath. Think of the past, the good things of the past, the times past when God has helped us. And so just put the things of those, remember that you can't change the past, but think of the good things of the past. And that gives you strength for the future. And so this, God tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 1 Corinthians 5:17. And so you just remember this. I'm a new man in Christ. When I accept Jesus Christ, I'm born again. And now I have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit within me. I am a spiritual person. I have an outward body that gets weak and gets frail. And I'm finding that out all the time. But I'm finding that there's a spiritual man within becomes stronger, see. And so just count on that and lean on that. And you'll get strength. And you will never be, and you won't get discouraged, or you get out of the doldrums when you lean on Jesus. And then honestly face the facts in your life. What are the facts? Well, do we imagine to be, what do we imagine? Sometimes we imagine things. Sometimes we just think things are worse than they really are. Here, David says in verses 42 and verse 9, he says, I will say unto God, why hast thou forgotten me? He says, God, I've got the blues and I'm in the doldrums because you've forgotten me. Why have you forgotten me? And when he'd look at the facts, he'd find out God hadn't forgotten him. He was just talking. God hadn't forsaken him and he never will. It's a devil's trick, see? So face the facts. Why art thou cast off? Why dost thou cast me off? He hadn't cast him off. God hadn't put David away. In other words, David is saying, I am going to face the facts. And when I really believe, think about it, I'm going to know. I don't know why these things happen. I don't know why I'm sick. I don't know why I lost my business. I don't know why this or that or the other thing. But I do know this. I know God loves me. I know Jesus loves me and died for me. I know that he said he'd never leave me or forsake me. So why am I cast down? I have no business being cast down when I have a God like that. Or thank God for the blessings that you have. And when you think about how God has blessed you and done so many things, and start writing them down. Maybe you can put down that you have food. Maybe you put down clothing. Maybe you have friends and all the rest. And then when you get think of all of that, start putting down the blessings that you have. We have the blessings of the forgiveness of sins. Can you imagine that? Here we have sinned, terrible sins. And Jesus says, if a man has lost his soul, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In other words, Jesus is saying, if you lost your soul, what can you give to get it back? And Jesus is saying, if you have the whole world, you can't get it back. You can't redeem it. You're lost and you're in hell. So Jesus comes and Jesus has no sins. He takes those sins and he goes to the cross, takes all of the sins of the world. No wonder he sweat, as it were, drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's taking all the sins of the world, and he loves me so much that he dies for me. Count your blessings. Don't count all of the bad things. Count the good things. And don't be so foolish as to give away your faith in God and what for something that you don't understand. People say, well, I don't understand why all these happen. I'm done with God. Sometimes people get mad with God. I've dealt with those people. They're mad at God. He didn't treat them right, see? And so they're done with him. So they don't know why that happened. So they're giving up something they know for something they don't know. Now, you don't have your brain working very good there, do you? And so think of the blessings that he's given, and especially the spiritual blessings. And then I put down, read your Bible. Get to the book. Get to the book. Read your Bible. And somebody says, well, sometimes they'll say, oh, well, I don't feel like it. I don't read the Bible because I don't feel like it. Well, you read it anyway. When you don't feel like it, that's when you need it the most. Get in the book, read the book. And then you can get busy for God and tell somebody about Jesus. And then you can do this and you can claim the promises of God. I could spend all day, all week talking about the promises of God. Let me just give you two that's helped me so much. The first promise God has given me that I can really count on is that he will never leave me or forsake me, that he's always there and I can count on him. And he loves me, so I know that he's going to be with me. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. And the second verse you can use is Romans 8, 28. We know. Paul says, we know. He doesn't say it might be. It could be. I hope it will. I think it might be. He says, we know. We know. What do we know? We know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. He says, well, I got a flat tire. Should I be thankful for that? Yes, you bet you. And when things go wrong, to be like Job. Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'll never turn my back on God, this wonderful God. Then get busy for God. Do some work. Help some people that are in need. And do what you can to help people out. And then get to pray. And pray and walk and look and serve and look for ways to serve. And you say, well, I'm on a bed of sickness and I can't get around. But you can pray. You can have a prayer list. You can be witnessing to people and the people that work with you and help you and minister to you. Don't be so crabby. Just be smiling and be happy and be a witness to them, see? And all the time, and the final thing I is put down, trust in God. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in God. This wonderful God. Just trust in God. Just prayerfully trust in him. Quietly trust in him. Deliberately trust in him. Put all of your faith in him. Lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ and this wonderful God, and you'll have everlasting life. Well, you say, I want everlasting life. I want to be born again. I want Jesus in my heart, but I don't know exactly how to go about it. And I'm going to tell you exactly how you do it. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, God tells us, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And so what God talks to your heart, and you might not have a doorbell ringing, or you might not hear voices or see lights. When I accepted Jesus, I didn't see any of those things. I didn't even get goose pimples, but I just knew I wanted Jesus. I can't tell you why. I can't accept. I heard that sermon and the Holy Spirit talked to me, and the Holy Spirit is saying, you need Jesus. And he wants to come into your heart. And so I said, I went and I knelt to the recitation bench, 10 years old. And I prayed, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. I'm sorry for my sins, and I'll follow you. I'll serve you, Jesus. And now I'm going to serve him starting pretty soon, 75 years preaching for Jesus. It's so wonderful. And so you just do what I did. Just say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. He knows it. He wants you to confess it. And I've sinned against you, and dear Jesus, I just ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And dear Lord, I'll follow you the best I can. That means you're going to turn from your sins. Jesus taught repentance. Turn from your sins the best you can. You'll never be perfect, but you just trust Jesus. And when you sin, ask him to forgive you. And then you thank him for saving you. And if you do that, you write to us and we'll send you literature. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And all you shortwave people, I would love to hear from you. Just write to box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then you can give us your letters and tell us about yourselves. And maybe you can send us a gift. Somewhere we have to have income to pay our way. And that income has to come from God's people. We're not underwritten by any organization, anything else, just God's people. And I know what you're saying. I don't know if I can trust him. He looks like he might do. He looks like the kind that is abscond with my money and go. I just don't trust him. Well, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books. Every penny we get and every penny we spend, and we're clean as a hound's tooth. And so when you send a gift, it'll go for exactly what we're doing now. That's all we have, the only ministry we have, is getting the Word of God out. And so we pray that God will speak to your heart. You just ask God, and he'll tell you what to do. And then one other thing, ask for the new song. And you're just going to love this little paper. And if you don't, you write and tell me you didn't like it, and I'll send a letter of apology. So now I'm going to pray. And in our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church. So we're going to pray for the Christians in Eritrea. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Eritrea. And we know that they are having, some of them are giving their life. And so we just pray that you, I know you'll give them strength, but help them to know that we love them and you love them, but we're praying for them and that they're an encouragement and a blessing to us. And Lord, all those who today pray to accept you as their Savior, help them to read the Gospel of John. Help them to write so we can help them along in the Christian faith. Be with the children, Lord, the precious children. Be with the young people who have such awful temptations to face. Be with those on beds of sickness, Lord, and be with the shut-ins, and be with the lonely, and be with the hurting, and be with those who lost their loved ones. Lord Jesus, just help us to lean on you, and we'll give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So God bless you. Thank you for letting us come into your home today. We always love coming. I just look forward to the weekends. And I can't see you, but we're all going to see each other when we get to heaven. But you have to have Jesus. So you get Jesus in your life. And someday we'll all meet over in heaven, and won't we have a celebration? And until that, you pray for us, and we'll pray for you. Send your gift, send your letter. That'll be encouragement to help us. And then just always know God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. God knows that I love you. And we're doing the best we can to share Jesus and to encourage you in the walk of life. So God bless you, everyone, in Jesus' name.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.